Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Donnie Obert on the show for the first time. It's Donnie's a fishing guide up on Rainy Lake. I've been a fan of Donnie's for a while. If you go online, you know, you can see content, you see videos that he's filmed with various television shows and other creators. And Donnie, for the last decade, he's definitely been making an impression. And he's just a fun, high-energy guy. And it's great to finally have this conversation on the podcast. But we talk about his career and his interesting story, how he got into being a fishing guide, and just how that all came together for him. But also, we get down on the fishing up there, a great fishery, border waters of Minnesota and Ontario. That definitely comes up in terms of, you know, how that all plays a factor in Donnie's day-to-day fishing, and very interesting topics covered in all this. But yeah, very fun conversation with a very fun angler, Donnie Obert. Let's get to it. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest-grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra-lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. I don't know how it's taken me so long to get in touch with you, but I've been paying attention to your stuff here for a little while, and so I'm really excited to finally have you on, get a little bit of your story, and talk fishing with you. So where does this, like, the story actually begin for you, man? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique path to being a full-time fishing guide, I guess. I did grow up fishing. My dad was a pretty known fisherman around Mille Lacs. Grew up in Mora, Minnesota, so we spent a lot of time trolling for big pike on Mille Lacs. And I got out of high school and joined the Air Force, and I did that for a number of years. And then I got out of the Air Force, and I had a buddy got me a job shoveling concrete, and I ended up spending 22 years building big, ridiculous things, parking ramps and hospitals and skyscrapers. I did that for a number of years, and then that started to take its toll on my body. So I decided I was going to go do something I enjoyed a little bit more, and decided I'm going to go be a fishing guide. So moved up to Rainy Lake and kind of had a job opportunity with another guide service. I started working for him a couple years later, went out on my own, and just been grinding ever since.
How was fishing staying alive? Because that's such a drastic change of pace, so I'm just sort of curious, like where was fishing living you know, or like, how was it expressing itself for all those years before you made the decision to be a fishing guide?
I would say all through my 20s, it wasn't. It was non-existent.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was 100-hour work weeks were pretty common. And between that and my wife and I had two kids that were both three-sport athletes, and they're just, you know, there just wasn't time. About the time I hit 32, I dove headfirst into musky fishing, and that consumed every spare second of my life. Oh, for 8 years or so. And then my shoulders actually, concrete's pretty hard on your body, you know, especially industrial commercial concrete. And my shoulders were starting to give me a little trouble slinging big baits. And that was about the time I begrudgingly decided I was going to have to target walleyes. I was going to have to go down the road of walleye fishing. And that's actually what brought me up to Rainy Lake the first time. I'd done quite a bit of fishing in the national park here on Cabotogama and Namekin. But the walleyes is what originally brought me here to Rainy. It opened up a whole new world of endless possibilities and endless things to learn in the walleye world. And then that kind of consumed me.
How do you connect the dots there? What were some other things that you might have been considering, or, you know, that were competing with, you know, your thoughts on like what to do after, you know, your concrete career? Like, I'm just sort of curious, like, how did becoming a fishing guide win out in your busy life?
I don't know that anything else was even on the table. I mean, this door kind of opened, and you know, I gave it a little bit of thought, and I just said, you know, only two things are going to get destroyed here if this goes wrong, and that's my pride and my credit. I'm going for it. And anybody that has known me for any length of time will tell you that I am an all or nothing kind of individual. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to give it, I will take it right to the edge. I'm going to give it every single ounce of what I've got. And I decided I wasn't going to tiptoe. I wasn't going to, you know, I've met a lot of potential fishing guides that want to dip their toes in and maybe guide on a weekend or, you know, a 3-day holiday weekend and see if they like it. And that's just not how I'm wired. I'm an all or nothing kind of person. And when I made the decision that this is what I'm going to do, I decided I was going to make it or go bankrupt trying. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going on year 8. So
that's quite a story, man, because, you know, I think, you know, and I think we should maybe touch on or focus a little bit on, you know, you could be a fishing guide just like anywhere, but I'm curious, why Rainy for you?
Sure. Well, okay. So there's a few reasons. One, this is initially where the door was opened was for a guide service on Rainy Lake. Two, I kind of sat down and thought, well, if I'm going to do this, I've got to be able to find success where other people struggle. You know, if you're unfamiliar, Rainy Lake enormous. It's over 270,000 acres, over 1,100 islands. From my dock here on Rainy Lake, I can go 40 miles in a couple different directions. It's international. You know, there's Canadian water, Ontario water, Minnesota water. It's scary, you know, to a lot of people. It's full of rocks and rock piles. And I just thought, you know, if you're going to build a brand and you're going to build a business, a good place to do that is where maybe more folks are intimidated than not.
Yeah, that probably fits in, you know, why it works with your personality. I feel like there's, you know, it's sometimes hard to put your finger on, but like when I'm hearing your story and I hear your work ethic and you sound like a kind of like a competitive person, just maybe competitive with yourself or, you know, obviously with the fish, but like, you know, going somewhere that's kind of a little bit, you know, not for everybody, seems like it's perfectly for you.
Well, and one of the other angles is you are required to have a Coast Guard captain's license here. So, you know, not anybody can launch a boat and say, yahoo, I'm a fishing guide. I mean, it does weed out, you know, some of the part-time nature of modern fishing guides. So, again, I just think, you know, if you have to have a captain's license and you have to have a big commercial insurance policy, it does kind of weed out guys that aren't actually doing it for a living.
Fishing-wise, I'm curious what you would say, or, you know, if there is such a thing, like the kind of guide that you are, the kind of angler that you are, like, do you have a specialty? I kind of want to start getting into some of those things. Like how would you say Rainey has sort of influenced you as an angler and a guide? And I just kind of want to talk about that part a little bit and just sort of, you know, figure out what makes you tick on the water.
Sure. So, you know, first off, I actually had very, very little walleye experience when I came. I mean, very, very little. I learned how to walleye fish essentially with customers in the boat. I had some great guys help me along. You know, Captain Ben Gilbertson and Trent Einichner, and, you know, a couple other guys that really, every time I struggled, that they really took me under their wing and said, hey, you know, we're you know, when you first start learning how to walleye fish, especially on a great big body of water like this, is over the course of the year, there's 6-7 very distinct patterns, you know, and that first year, you know, every time I was confident and okay, I finally got it dialed. You know, I'd come in and the guys, we're all over here doing this now. Like, son of a gun, I gotta go learn something else. But you know, I had some great guys kind of take me under their wing and really help me along the first year. Then the second year, you know, third year, fourth year, the more time you spend on any specific body of water, the more dialed you get. So, you can see the patterns in real time. When one thing stops working, well, you know what's next because you have historical reference, right? So you can say, well, gal dang it, last year when this stopped working, this started working, and you can make that transition. But I would say over time, I have really just started to target big walleyes. Big walleyes get me going. I don't know why. I just think they're so freaking cool. And you know, over the last 3-4 years, I've integrated, live scope, you know, into my approach with customers and you know, I actually don't clean very many walleyes anymore. We are pretty much specifically hunting bigs, when you get in my boat. That's what I want to spend my time doing. And I found most of my clients, that's what they would prefer to spend their time doing, is I don't much care about limits of 15 and 16 inches anymore. I'm hunting bigs.
Yeah. I'm curious about that. Like, from a business perspective, you'd think if you got so, you know, if you got so focused on that one thing that you'd be, you know, you'd be compromising, you know, your traffic, like, but you know, but you're saying that, you know, a big portion, a big, you know, a majority of your clientele, I mean, are down for that kind of action, because you think historically, like what you just said there, is like the first thing that pops into my mind is like, if you got a guide business that's going on a decade, like, you know, you gotta figure out how to put limits in the boat. But you know, I don't know, maybe this is like a sign of modern day angling, you know, anglers that are just like a little bit more into catching big ones, more of the conservation catch and release. I'm just sort of curious how you would describe that for yourself in your own business.
You know, honestly, I'm probably 98% return clients at this point. So I would say that when you first start guiding, you take every trip, every time the phone rings, you answer it. And I would ask those clients what their goals are, you know, and that's part of building a brand and getting your name out there and building your client list. But over time, you can kind of specialize. Like, you know, you just have such a good time when people are catching big walleyes. I mean, you know, you can catch eaters anywhere, but to go somewhere as magnificent as this place and catch big walleyes with no other boats in sight, I think it's a magical experience, and people keep coming back for it. So, you know, I don't know if it's the new wave. I'm sure, you know, I do own a fish breeding company too. So, you know, I hate to stop, tell people to stop keeping fish, but the big fish, the big walleyes bring customers back. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite like consistently catching big walleyes. I think it changes the game a little bit.
What is it about Rainy, other than, you know, you talked about the size and scope of the lake? I mean, it's a big body of water, a lot of structure, like infinite, structure, intimidating, honestly, to look at on the map. If you've never been, it's like, whoa, like I don't know nearly enough to just think I can go up there and start finding, you know, nice fish. So get me up to speed a little bit. What is it about Rainy that grows big fish, and what do I got to know, about, just sort of getting my head wrapped around this idea of targeting big fish on Rainy with you?
Well, I think the first thing you need to know is the fact, and I had mentioned it earlier, that there's five or six very specific patterns from the fishing opener on through October. And, you know, the ability to find them and stay on them has helped kind of dial that those presentations in a little bit, where you're not starting every day from scratch. Like, you know, I have a pretty good idea. Like, for example, until July 4th, I never fish any deeper than about 8 feet of water. You know, that will surprise an awful lot of people. I would think that would surprise some people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you think the, a big lake like this with the big rock reefs, and yep, you can catch fish on the reefs pretty much from opener to ice up. But if you're going to specifically target big fish, you have to follow the fatty baits. You have to follow the Ciscos, and you have to follow the smelt, and where the bigger fatty bait fish live and or exist, that's where you're going to find big walleyes. And that remains consistent from, year round, actually. You know, I start the season casting stick baits a lot of times in 2-3 feet of water. And at that time of year, you know, we're focused on the warmest water we can find, you know, and that's, even that can be a little bit deceiving. You know, you want to find, mud bottom bays, you know, with full sun exposure, 'cause that's going to absorb a lot of sun. And then on top of that, you want to find the ones that the wind is pushing into, right? So anybody that's ever jumped out of a boat or jumped off a dock, you learn real quickly that surface water is warmer than the water 5 feet down, right?
Yeah.
So when you have wind blowing into the back of a bay, it's pushing all the surface water, right? So all that surface water is getting pushed to the back of the bay, meaning the backs of those bays, sometimes 1, 2, 3 feet of water, it can be 8-10 degrees warmer than where the bay starts. Does that make sense?
We're all looking to have the ultimate edge on the water, but how do we get there? When it comes to fishing rods, JT Outdoor Products has you covered. Their technique-specific rods are engineered and tested by tournament professionals to give you the competitive advantage on the tournament trail, or the extra edge to the passionate everyday angler. They're hand-built in Farmington, Minnesota. With the highest-grade carbon fiber blanks and the finest componentry, JT rods are ultra-lightweight, incredibly sensitive, and built for performance. Whether you're after walleye, bass, pike, or panfish, they have every species covered. Their rods deliver precision, durability, and unmatched feel. Don't settle for ordinary. Fish smarter with JT Outdoor Products, where performance meets perfection. Visit them at jtodp.com. That link is in the description of this podcast. Do yourself a favor, check them out today. The Onyx Fish App is the roadmap to your next great fishing adventure. The Onyx Fish App brings together all the great research tools that we talk about all the time on the JMO podcast with all the top pros. I'm talking about satellite imagery, lake surveys, fisheries data, contour maps, the list goes on. They're all in one place now. Anglers in the Midwest have never had a more valuable research tool at their disposal. Head over to the website to subscribe today. Use promo code JMO for a discount at checkout. And I'll say it again, your next great fishing adventure that you don't even know exists can be found on the Onyx Fish app. Summit Fishing Equipment brings technology and innovation together to improve fishing equipment design and usability. Their forward-facing sonar shuttle transducer pole combos are designed to be used year-round. With just a few accessories you'll find on the website, you can mount the shuttle and transducer pole right in your boat, making the transition from ice season to open water incredibly simple and cost-effective. Check out everything they've got at summitfishingequipment.com. Use code SUMMIT10 at checkout for 10% off all orders online. That link is in the description of this podcast. The other thing, too, is that I'm curious about is, like, you know, thinking... You know, because my brain right now, I'm like switched on to, you know, the opener, you know, like early May, you know, thinking about this, you know, like this. But like, is there a big migration of some kind? Like, what don't I know about Rainy as far as like the spawning run? Because again, when I look at it on the map, it's like endless structure that, you know, and I'm envisioning, well, maybe there's just a lot of, you know, like a lot of lake spawners just with all that rocky shoreline. Or is there like a really... pronounced migration of some kind as far as like what end of the lake a guy should be on? Like, I'm just sort of curious where that sort of fits into this conversation too, is finding fish.
Sure. I would say, okay, so any, and there are several rivers and creeks that all dump into Rainy, from Kettle Falls to Rat Root River to the Seine River. I mean, there's probably 25, 30 different creeks and rivers that all dump in, and spawning takes place in every one of them. Now you do want to be a little bit careful there, as most of those are sanctuaries on the Ontario side. So you can't go into them till June 14th.
Gotcha.
So that is one thing. If you come up here on your own, you're going to want to educate yourself a little bit as to what can legally be fished while you're here. Yeah, but spawning takes, and I would be certain that there are some lake spawners, but there's an awful lot of moving water kind of from the east and from the north and from the west. it's a big body of water. So I wouldn't say there's any one specific migration to count on. There's really no need to play bumper boats here ever. There's always more spots, and there's always more structure, and there's always new spots to learn. Like, you know, part of the way I learned the lake, and like, so I haven't even learned the entire lake yet. You know, there are spots I haven't fished. And I mean, I'm talking, I fish, you know, 300 days a year for 8 years on one body of water, and I haven't touched it all. So
yeah, how realistic would that be? Like, it would take, I mean, it's going to take the rest of your lifetime that you'd have to have that as a goal to even
I would
try.
Think, yeah, you would want to start with, okay, I'm going to fish every rock in this thing. And you better start young.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's always somewhere else, you know, you pull around a point, or, you know, kind of in my mind, I have a good idea where I want to start most days, right? Because I left the fish there yesterday. So typically I don't have to do a lot of searching, but you pull around a point or come around an island and there's a boat sitting where you wanted to go. Well, you know what? I can run down the lake another 2-3 miles and it's just endless. It's just endless spots. And the more I learn about the lake, the more I'm starting to realize there's fish everywhere.
Eventually here, I want to get into presentation. You know, I think that there's going to be some interesting elements to this conversation, because one thing that you kind of already brought up that is part of this conversation is it is a border water. And yes. And so I kind of want to get into, you know, somehow transition into the, you know, presentations early in the year. You're fishing shallow. As you're talking about that, and it's like a post-spawn bite, and, you know, you're putting the pattern together. And then you guide on this border water, and there's a whole live bait conversation. So I kind of want to get into like your early season, roster as far as presentations and how that all comes together for you.
Sure. So, I don't know. The listeners might find it a little bit interesting that I don't think I've bought a minnow in 5 or 6 years, and not to look down my nose, believe you, trust me, there's days I wish I could. But being that I do fish Canada and the United States, and we cannot legally haul bait across an international border, that really forced my hand to try to look at other ways to catch walleyes consistently with what traditionalists might call unconventional methods. So our pike season never closes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you can put a boat in the water, you can start pike fishing. And a pretty well-known technique for pike is suspended stick baits. Okay. So what I quickly realized, casting shallow weed edges, warm water backs of bays, sun baked rocks that might be a couple degrees warmer than the surrounding water, was that, you know, walleyes will crush a stick bait. And like, I'm sure there's a million walleye guys that'll tell, oh yeah, hey, dummy. You know what I mean? But for me, that was a kind of a real light bulb moment. Like, oh my gosh, walleyes absolutely smash these things. So that was like my first glimpse into a patternable, repeatable, proven strategy for walleyes around the opener, was casting and twitching stick baits, suspended stick baits, twitch baits, whatever you want to call them, where it's a snap, snap, pause, long pause, snap, snap, pause. And those walleyes always hit it on that pause. And that transition from pike to walleyes eating those baits was something that built my confidence to the point where, okay, you know what? We can do this. This can be done. I don't need a bucket of minnows or crawlers or leeches. I mean, this is patternable. And the beauty, the fun of walleye fishing is the fact that patterns are replicatable. Like, you know, I've said this before, if I can catch one walleye doing this, I should be able to catch 100 walleyes doing this, right? That's the fun of walleye fishing. Like, okay, all right, there's big walleyes, they're shallow. Well, of course they're going to eat an injured minnow bait, for crying out loud. What do you think they're eating when they eat a jig and a minnow? So yeah, that was kind of the first light bulb moment where I knew I could be successful with artificials. The second would be, of course, jigs and plastics, you know, paddle tails. Any river fisherman in the world will tell you, 8 ounce jig, quarter ounce jig, 13 sixteenths, you name it, 3/16. River fishermen, they've been knowing that for decades. Well, that stuff, you can also use those. You can apply those same techniques, pitching shallow rock piles. You know, when those fish are just coming post spawn, I mean, they're going to eat. And, you know, side scan was the tool for a long, long time. And I still utilize side scan a lot. I'll scan boulder piles there's piles of fish in here. And just, you can cast and let it hit bottom and pop it or slow reel it. Or, you know, a lot of times we'll mix it up until you see one person's consistently catching fish. And, you know, all of a sudden now you've got confidence in a second thing. And you can use those on weed edges or rock piles or current seams. You know, even big lakes, you know, big lakes like this have current seams. So, you know, I've kind of brought that river fishing to the lake and grew with confidence, throwing jigs and plastics as well. So that's my 1-2 early season punch, really, is stick baits and jigs and plastics. You'll probably get a kick out of this. So, you know, when you first start guiding and you'll get, you know, a couple old timers in the boat or whatever, you know, and you hand them a 8 ounce jig and a paddle tail, they look at you like you're nuts. You know, they look at you like, son, we ain't bass fishing. No, just bear with me. We're going to catch walleyes, I promise. So, yeah, it can be, you know, until they whack their first couple of fish on them, they can be, you know, lifelong walleye guys who've been jigging minnow guys their entire lives. They look at you with a little bit of a questionable, you know, and until you start catching them, and then it's game on, because all of a sudden, oh, geez, we get to cast for these?
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of opens up a whole nother can of worms.
Just curious about your progression with the presentations. You know, you got clients in the boat, so you can kind of, you know, switch up. Like, you start with this, you start with that, and we'll kind of dial it in by, you know, as quickly as we can. I'm curious what that's like as far as the progression. And one thing that comes up a lot that I haven't asked you is, like, you know, whether it's water clarity. Is your water just always stained like a lot of that northern stuff is? Like, I'm just sort of curious, you know, about that detail, and then getting into, like, how that affects, you know, maybe how you feel about color or whatever.
Sure. No, so we're pretty heavy tannic stained. And so for, if you still want to focus around the opener, or say spring fishing in general, early season, you know, a lot of that stuff, that I'm fishing, I'm just such a huge fan of white. And I'll tell you why, because most of these predators feed up, you know, especially in that shallow early water stuff. So if everything they eat has a white belly, then I'm throwing white, right? So you look at a walleye's eyes, and they're, you know, they're fixated on the top of its head. It's designed to feed up. Now, I know that walleyes will pick stuff off the bottom. I'm just, for early spring reference, I think white is the color for me. It is almost exclusively what I throw in the spring. Now, on the river, on the rainy river in the spring, I'll have a pile of different colors, because your clarity can change by the hour. But on the lake, I'm pretty consistent white.
And then, yeah, like, talking about your cadences, that has to be a big part of, you know, these conversations for me. You know, when we're talking artificials any time of year, I feel like cadence is definitely a big part of that. What are some of the meaningful adjustments that you're prepared to make throughout a day as far as, you know, size, profile, color, cadence, just some of those things that come up in the boat with your clients?
Sure. So that's actually pretty easy. One of the benefits of guiding is that I have 3-4 lines every single day to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can start with a couple different weights of jigs, and you can start with a couple different colors of jigs, a couple different colors of paddle tails. And then you just pay attention to what is getting bit. As fishermen, we have this tendency to have a preconceived notion of what should work and sticking to that like glue. And I have a great example for you. I have a real good buddy, Sean, who brings his daughter, Emerson, every year. Every year, Memorial Day weekend, they fish 3 days. And we were pitching paddle tails up against a boulder pile, probably 6-7 feet of water, wind cooking in there, nice stack of fish in there. And I'm trying to teach him to sweep the rod tip up, let it drop. Couple cranks, sweep your rod, right? This kind of your traditional retrieve with a, say, a jig and a minnow, or a jig and a chunky crawler, or what have you. And I'm trying to talk him through it, and she's just straight reeling her jig on the bottom and got one. And so I'm like, oh, all right, well, we get it netted and whatever, take a picture, it's all back. And I'm actually trying to coach her out of what's working, right? I said, Emerson, try to give that a little more sweep on your rod. Got one, you know, and this went on 3-4 times. And I finally looked at her dad and said, just reel it on the bottom.
Yeah, dude. Like, totally.
Because we just were so pre-programmed that, oh, I watched this on a YouTube deal, and this is what's supposed to work, instead of watching what is actually producing bites. And like that day, I learned something, like, to stop being so stubborn in how you think it's supposed to be done, and pay attention to what's actually working.
I love that story because that is so descriptive. And I feel like the preconceived notion is that if we're going to fish with artificials, we got to be working that bait. It doesn't work for itself. But man, so I guess with that, I am curious, like, what are some of your favorite soft plastics? I mean, I would just love to hear what your lineup looks like because, yeah, man, like, you obviously got something working. So I'm curious what your recommendations are.
Well, I like the Northland paddle shads. I mean, bee fishing, you know, they've been around forever, you know. There's actually a ton of great paddle style baits. Big Bite makes a great, a little bit bigger. I think it's called a suicide shad, if I remember right. You know, but any, I mean, Kitech makes a, you know, makes a good one. There's a pile of different sizes and colors and shapes. And you know, obviously I'm on Northland's pro staff. So I really have had a lot of success with the eye candies, the paddle shads. I like the fact that they can absorb scent, you know, and you can stick them back in the tray. And that's something you can do ahead of time is scent those up. You know, sometimes that adds a little bit to the overall success of your day, as well as being able to add a little scent. But paddle tails are probably my bread and butter. You know, there's also several good minnow baits. I mean, you know, for 50 years, people have been catching walleyes on Mr. Twisters. So,
right.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like it's super new technology. And then the other probably less mentioned critical factor is jig weight. River current aside, on the lake, shallow, I rarely throw anything heavier than 3/16. Most often I'm at an eighth, unless it's really windy, you know, and the wind is blowing a big bow in your line. I mean, obviously then you got to go a little heavier, but I try to go as light as possible and be able to occasionally maintain contact with the bottom.
So what, I mean, I'm curious then how your whole setup comes together when you're pitching light stuff. And, yep. You know, and you're trying to put it in shallow water and fish it efficiently. Do you have any other like hard preferences on line selection or, you know, leader material or just, you know, rod reel combos? Like, is there anything about your setup that you feel like is like a major contributor there? Because I got to envision, and I like fishing small stuff too. Certainly situationally, and this is, you know, that early season in cold water, like I feel like you got to be prepared to do some of these things, but making a long cast isn't always so simple with just every setup you have. So I'm just curious, you know, you've seen it all, you've seen clients with all levels of skill, you know, skill sets as far as castability. Like, do you feel like there's like a one size fits all setup?
No, there's no such thing as a one size fits all. What I prefer to use is a 7-1 JT Outdoor Products, JTX Mag Medium Light. It's got a real sweet spot for casting plastics, I think. It's got phenomenal hook setting power, great bite detection. But I would think any 7 to 7'6" medium action rod, you know, you want a little bit more medium action on, in my opinion, for bite detection. Especially for beginners or novices. A lot of times, if you have a fast action rod, they feel that initial tick and they'll rip the bait right out of the fish's mouth. Whereas if you have a little bit softer action on that rod, a lot of times that walleye will get, you know, they like to bite and turn their head. And if you can wait till they turn their head to set that hook, you're going to have a much, much higher hookup percentage. Does that make sense?
Dude, that makes so much sense. I love that thought process, you know.
Think of how many times you've got bit on a plastic and had your plastic pulled down the shank or the paddle tail bit off. You know, if you could have hesitated just a second on that hook set. So the fast action rod, I almost feel like you feel that bite too fast. The other thing, Taylor, especially early season, and I cannot stress this enough, is position your boat So you are casting with the wind.
Yeah.
Light tackle, light gear. You know, for guys that spend all their time in the front of the boat and tournament guys that are live scoping, a lot of what I'm saying is not going to apply. What the things that the techniques that I use and the way I approach things are for guests to catch fish. And the best way to make guests or beginners or novices successful is to, especially in shallow water, is to manage their slack. And the best way to manage your slack, especially casting paddle tails or stick baits, is to be casting with the wind. Anytime that wind is pushing a big bow of slack in your line, you're going to miss bites. I hate to keep saying, does that make sense? I'm a visual person. So sometimes,
no, I love that.
Sometimes verbally explaining things is tough for me, but anytime you're crosswind or into the wind, I promise you, you're missing bites. If you're on fish, you're missing bites. Have those lines downwind, have your customers, clients, kids, spouse, whomever, have them casting with the wind, rod tip down, and working those baits with no slack in the line. Yeah. And you're going to feel every tick.
Yeah, you're going to get more out of your cast. That what an efficiency, you know, to just understand that park above the fish, let the wind work for you, you know, and make, you know, just helping you manage your line, helping you. I mean, that can be such a great tip, even on the highest level, right down to, like you said, somebody that's just trying to understand or wrap their head around, like, how do I be more efficient with, I love that.
Yeah.
Stuff,
and I'm not bagging live scope. I mean, I run one, you know, I run one in the back of my boat for customers. I typically don't use it until we reef up, until the fish push out to the reefs, you know, and then I exclusively live scope. I mean, it's so I just don't want it to come across like I'm banging on any sort of.
No, for sure. Yeah.
You know, I mean, my customers will tell you, dude, we're once them fish reef up, once they push out of the shallows and get out to the mid lake humps and reefs and points, I am specifically casting at big fish the rest of the season. And at that point, I'm basically just quarterbacking on the stick, you know. I say, hey, you know, Brenda, 48 feet this way, there's two bigs, and I run a last year I had a 86-16 on the back of my boat. This year I've got a NBT Marine 22-inch. So you know, I'm able to spot lock and run the pole and direct people right at big fish. I mean, that's probably what I do different than most. Yes, when we're targeting big fish directly is I spend most of my day, I don't even fish anymore. I just quarterback and casts. You know, I know we're talking about walleyes for most of this show, but we do have a pretty phenomenal crappie fishery here. And the crappies is really I didn't really start applying the live scope to walleye fishing until 2 years ago. But 4 or 5 years ago, when I first set it up in my boat, I was using it for crappies, fishing brush piles for crappies. And customers with that big screen in the back of the boat, they're so fascinated by it. You know, the guys in the industry, it's kind of old hat already. You know, we've all seen it. But, you know, most clients, most clients haven't even watched it on YouTube. They're absolutely blown away by the technology. Like, you know, hey, Dale, that brush pile is 30 feet right here. Just go ahead and give your jig. Up, there's your jig. It's dropping. All right, close your bail. We're just going to drift it over to brush. Oh, there it comes. See that big red blob? Okay, Dale, set the hook.
Yeah, dude.
You can, like, you literally can quarterback them right through the whole process. And once they've done it once or twice, then it's on. Then I can just sit in the front of the boat and net fish and laugh. Because they kind of take over, you know, they're like, oh yeah, I'm not do this.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. It's fun.
What else do we got to touch on as far as these early season walleyes with you, man? And just, you know, even if it's just, you know, kind of the personal side of just what, you know, how you like to do it, you know, kind of what makes you, you know, what you enjoy about, you know, the opener. It's probably not the easiest time of year for you to catch a bunch of fish, you know, talking about the conditions and the shallow water, but is there anything that you like about it particularly, or anything about your approach or your strategy that we could still touch on?
I don't know. God dang it. Everyone's so amped up to go in the spring, you know?
Yeah.
I'm kind of lucky because I get to get those first time out, you know, I get to crack that whip on walleyes on the Rainy River. And, you know, then I have a whole 3-week sturgeon season, you know, and then if we have open water, then I'm already straight into pike trips for a week, you know, before the quote unquote walleye opener. So, you know, but I understand for most people, walleye opener, that's their first time out, you know, of the season. Check your wheel bearings, have your plug, make sure your batteries are charged, have your life jackets. I mean, all of the stuff that is automatic in August sometimes gets overlooked in May because everyone is so excited, you know, to get on the road and get to the cabin or, you know, get up to the campground and spend some time with some buddies and, or family or, you know, whatever your opener tradition is, you know, in that excitement, don't forget just to take a minute and make sure your gear is actually prepared and ready for it. One of the things I do every spring, and it's because I've had them fail in the past, is I will check all my bilge pumps, and I probably maybe do it a little bit different than everyone else. I actually put the plug in the boat on the trailer and throw my hose, my garden hose, right in the boat and let it run until the auto kicks on. Because there is nothing worse than being freezing cold temperatures on the opener, being out in the water and getting a downpour or taking one over the side or the front. And realizing your bilge pumps don't work is a pretty harrowing experience. So I guess if I could give you one pro tip is make sure your bilge pumps work, either your autos or, you know, most of the big boats that I run, you know, they've got an auto and then two manuals. But the time to find out whether that stuff is in working order is before anyone's life is in danger.
Yeah, for sure. And on the lighter side of that, just like your live well, yeah, you're talking about your pumps and wiring connections, sure. And is all that stuff working? It's like, man, you can get out there and get excited with your buddies and start catching fish and start filling up the live well and realize that you got to check on some wires and you're just throwing them in a dry live well.
Yeah. Or your infill tube came disconnected and you're actually filling up the bottom of your boat. I've seen that one too.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, nobody's immune to these things. You know, people think even with new boats, actually brand new boats sometimes can be the biggest issue. It's like you have the highest expectations that everything works. If those of us that have, you know, older boats that have a few bumps and bruises on them, you know, we've been through that. So our checklist is pretty complete. Man, you get a brand new boat, that's like definitely when you want to be checking everything that you think you might. You know, even just every little thing.
Every little thing. Yep. Spare tire on the trailer inflated. I mean, that's, you know, anybody that's put enough miles on a trailer knows you got to be ready for that. You don't want to be that guy on the side of the road.
That's it. That's it, man. And you don't want to be that guy getting towed off the lake. And oh, man. Yeah. Well, good stuff, dude. Good stuff, Donnie. I love it. I just, you know, it's just kind of fun to hear your story. Definitely, you know, your unique story, dude. It just gets me super fired up. Gets me super fired up. I'm probably still going to buy a couple of scoops of minnows on the opener. Please don't hold that against me, Donnie.
No, God, by no means. By no means. There's a lot of fun to be had pitching live bait, for sure.
Yeah, but I appreciate it, man. But unless something else is eating at you, I love the awareness there at the end, just talking about some of the things to be thinking about preparing for our first time out. It is that time of year, whether people are on the rivers or getting ready to go on the rivers or you know, getting ready for the opener ahead. You know, just really, really, really great stuff, Donnie. But so, yeah, unless you got a different closer, I think we can wrap this up, you know, just letting people know how to find you or get a hold of you or any content you want to promote or just anything like that, so people can kind of look you up.
Yeah, I mean, really the easiest way to find me is to just give me a follow on Facebook. I don't really even run a website. Find me on Facebook or just call or text me direct. you can throw my number up when you do the episode or whatever. And I guess just one other thing, I do work with 3-4 other guys, real good guys, real professional, good fishermen, good guys. I know a lot of people hesitate to call because it's kind of well known that I'm booked about a year out. And so I think people are hesitant to call or message me, but people can still call or message because I can direct them to some other really, really good guides on Reedy Lake.
Right on, dude.